Hi, this is Brian Robinson, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
Shotgun, second and goal from the 5. Teddy takes the snap, fires to the end zone, caught, touchdown Vikings! And like the analyst told you, it's Kyle Rudolph with the Vikings' first touchdown this season and a quick 6-0 lead. Receivers left, one right. Hand off back to Adrian. Now he flips it to Jarius Wright. Coming right to left. Turns it up 30, 25, 20, 15. Makes a man miss at the 10 out of bounds. Jarius Wright with a 29-yard sprint. First and goal, Vikings. Fourth and goal, Bridgewater under center. Play action. Teddy rolls out to the left. Sprints into the end zone. Touchdown, Teddy! And the Vikings lead 13-0 with 14 and a half minutes to go in the first half. So Stafford back to pass, whips it out left. Caught Lance Moore, fumbled, picked up Andrew Sandejo inside the 20, 15, 10, and he's out of bounds at the 6-yard line. Captain Munderlin forced the fumble, recovered by Andrew Sandejo, and unofficially first and goal Vikings. Snap, handoff to Zach Line, launches for the end zone, touchdown. That's Zach Line's first National Football League touchdown, and it gives the Vikings a 23-10 lead. First and 10 Lions from the 50. Stafford back to pass, and the ball's intercepted by Justin Tranto, who jumped the route at the line of scrimmage. And the Vikings turn over Matthew Stafford as Tranto's taken down at the 39. Teddy Bridgewater executes victory formation. And for the first time this 2015 season, the Minnesota Vikings are victorious, having defeated the Detroit Lions by 10 in the home opener.
Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, coming to you from Xfinity Studios. Producer Nate Vaughn is here, and he put together that montage of Vikings highlights. Lots of Vikings making lots of good plays, and it all adds up to the first Vikings victory of the 2015 season. And it came at a much-needed time as the Vikings dropped their season opener and did so in a fashion in which they were pushed around the line of scrimmage. They couldn't run the ball. They got the ball run on them. The passing game didn't look as crisp as it had looked in the preseason, so the Vikings rebound, and they rebound in style, dominating the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They got Adrian Peterson going, and the passing game was efficient when it needed to be. The special teams dominated for most of the game, so the Vikings get back on track. They get a victory, an important victory, because it was an NFC North victory against the Detroit Lions. Every game is important. Every game is 1/16th of the season, but there is no question those division games have a little bit added value to them, and the Vikings go 1-for-1 in their NFC North game. So a good turnaround from week one, getting a victory in week two, and now you look ahead to week three in the San Diego Chargers coming to town. But before we do that, let's rehash what happened in the Vikings' victory. I think the story of the game was Adrian Peterson. He did not get into the end zone, but he pretty much did everything aside from getting into the end zone. Impacted the game as a ball carrier, averaging 4.6 yards per carry, 134 rushing yards on 29 carries, put the offense on his back, ran behind an offensive line that blocked for the Vikings to gain a total of 199 rushing yards on the afternoon. So a very good day for Adrian Peterson and for the offensive line.
You know, it's good for Adrian, but it's good for us as well. And it's good for the fans. You know, I mean, they're used to seeing this big 28 come in there barreling down. And, you know, there was a 1/3-and-1. He ran over somebody to convert on that. And then we did that early in the game. We converted third downs, which helped us to score points. But, you know, you go back and think about things, and I do that in retrospect. You know, we played one game for me last year and missed a lot of time. We go in, we got the offense that we're doing, and, you know, we move on to where we are, and then we get him back, and we don't play him in the preseason, and trying to figure out, okay, what is, you know, how does this team win? How do we win with this team, with this particular group of guys? And so I think we're starting to get a good feel for everything that we can do collectively as a group offensively.
Now, the ground game paced the day for the Vikings offense, but don't sleep on that passing game. It was efficient. Teddy Bridgewater completed 14 of 18 passes, had a touchdown, did not have a turnover, was only sacked one time. Most impressively, though, was Teddy Bridgewater on third downs, where he was 7 of 8 for 112 yards, and he had 3 carries for 20 yards, picking up yardage, extending drives with his legs. So Teddy was an ace on third downs. His touchdown pass did not come on third down, but he found the end zone when he connected with Kyle Rudolph early in the game. So the passing game did not necessarily have gaudy yardage totals, but it was efficient. It was high percentage. It protected the ball, and it was a perfect complement to a dominant ground game led by an offensive line that Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer says played with a chip on its shoulder coming off of that San Francisco 49ers game. So all in all, a very good performance by the Vikings offense. They were physical. They moved the ball down the field. They were balanced, and they got the MVP going in Adrian Peterson, who had 192 total yards. Another strong area of performance for the Vikings, the special teams group, and really a group that's been pretty good all season long. Unfortunately, Blair Walsh missed an extra point. So that kind of puts a black eye on the performance. But if you look beyond that, the rest of the Vikings special teams phases played very well. I think the standout individual of the game on special teams was Marcus Sherrills. He had a 31-yard punt return, and he made a tackle on a punt that netted just a 2-yard return. The Vikings punt team has given up 2 punt return yards all season. 2 punt return yards allowed in 2 games. Jeff Locke with a net average of 44.0 yards on Sunday against the Lions. So a very good performance by the Vikings special teams once again. Cordero Patterson even had a 31-yard kickoff return. The Vikings dominated the field possession battle on Sunday, both in field position after kickoffs and then in overall field position for the entire game after kickoffs, punts, and after drives concluded. So the Vikings win the field position battle largely because of their special teams. So bravo to Mike Prefer and his guys for that. Lastly on this game, let's talk about the Vikings defense. A lot of guys played well. Mike Zimmer said he thought his linebackers played much better than they played last week. A couple of the defensive linemen definitely played much better than they did last week. I thought Linval Joseph was a monster, especially early in the game, disrupting the Lions' rushing attack. Sharif Floyd the same way, and I think that really dissuaded the Lions from running the ball. They only gained 36 rushing yards on the afternoon, averaged something like 2.3 or 2.4 yards per carry. So the Vikings shut down the Lions' rushing attack, and they forced Matthew Stafford to drop back to pass 53 times. Most of the time, you're not winning a game when you're throwing the ball that many times. You need to have some semblance of balance, and the Vikings defense kept the Lions offense off balance, and they kept after Matthew Stafford for much of the afternoon. Only had one sack, but they were hitting him constantly. Matthew Stafford peeling himself up off the turf, play after play, took a beating. He's a tough guy. He stood in there, delivered throws in the face of pressure, but took a lot of hits from the Vikings defense. But the guy who stood out the most to me was Harrison Smith. The guy was all over the field. He forced a fumble. He was rushing the passer. He was playing in coverage. He was supporting the run. And he made a huge play on the 2-point conversion late in the game that essentially eliminated the Lions from contention at that point. They were looking to go for 2 so they could decrease their deficit from 10 points after a touchdown to 8 points. But Harrison Smith came up and made a great play on a run, kept the Lions out of the end zone for the 2-point conversion. So a great day for Harrison Smith, a guy who really is a perfect fit for Mike Zimmer's defense because of his versatility. We know that Mike Zimmer likes to do a lot of different things. He doesn't want to hang his hat on being able to just do one thing as a defense. He wants to do lots of different things. And when you have a player with the skill set that Harrison Smith has, it allows you to do a lot of different things as a play caller. So great game for Harrison Smith. In summation, Winter Park this week, folks, is a much happier place as the Vikings get a win and improve to 1-1 on the season.
Really, really good win today. I'm really proud of how the team responded. I told somebody, after last week's loss, it felt like we were 0-10, not 0-1. And we had to really dig down deep and fight and practice and study. We had a lot of grouchy players last week, grouchy coaches. And I thought we answered the bell today. I was proud of the fans. They showed up and they were loud. And, we're going to need them again next week. But this was an awful good victory under the circumstances. You never You know, I know you never think there's must wins at the beginning of the year like this, but to having a division team at home, and after a loss last week, it was very, very important for this football team to go out and play like we did. I've been around a lot of different teams, and I've never been around a team that practices and works like this team. This team works like a champion football team. But we have to go out on Sundays, and we have to do it. We have to win on Sundays in order to do those things. And I'm awful proud of him today.
The season is still early, and each week, this is a week-to-week league. And you know, each week you're either getting better or you're getting worse. And, you know, we want to be on the upside. You know, we want to try to get better each and every week. And I think we did a good job of that today. You know, we're continuing to develop chemistry, you know, as an offensive unit. You know, we're still battling some injuries and things like that. And it's only our second game having Adrian back. So, you know, we're excited. He was able to, you know, eclipse 100 yards today. And we ran the ball well today, protected well, and just had a good performance offensively.
From an NFC North battle to the rest of the NFC North, we go to the NFC North update desk and producer Nate Vaughn. Hello, Nate.
Hello, Wobby. Well, as you know, half of the NFC North was here in Minneapolis this weekend.
Yes.
So we'll start with the other half.
Okay.
One of those teams in Chicago hosting the Arizona Cardinals had a rough go of it. Long afternoon for Chicago Bears. The final score, 48-23. Four touchdown passes for Carson Palmer. Three of those to a guy we are pretty familiar with.
One
Larry
of us.
Fitzgerald.
Yeah,
he is a
Minnesotan.
One of us.
Yeah.
So a long afternoon for the Bears. Cutler injured a hamstring
right
after throwing a pick. We don't really know what kind of timetable that injury could be looking at, but what did you take away from the Bears' loss to the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, you never like to see a quarterback go down. Unfortunately, we've seen that in the NFL so far this season. Tony Romo, perhaps the biggest name of a quarterback who's been injured. Jay Cutler, another one. Again, as you said, we don't know the extent of that injury to Jay Cutler, but it was a double whammy because it came on an interception, and then Jay was trying to chase it down and hurt his hamstring there. So you never want guys to be injured. Hopefully Jay can get back. But following that game was tricky because it was happening at the same time as our game. So, you know, I'm chasing that thing on the scoreboard a little bit. You can't do that because you're on the field shooting the game. But, I mean, the Cardinals were just lighting up the scoreboard time after time, it seemed like, and the Bears were playing from behind for most of the afternoon. Ordinarily, a very tough place to go in and play, Soldier Field, and that's where that game was. So impressive victory by the Arizona Cardinals, but I would not trash the Bears too much. I know how tough it is to go in there and win, so the Vikings are going to have to be playing well if they want to go in there and do the same thing. But yeah, tough afternoon for the Chicago Bears. Their quarterback goes down, and you know, but whenever an NFC North team loses, it's good news for the Vikings. And the Vikings saw one of their NFC North opponents go down to the Cardinals by a score of 48-23.
So an impressive victory for the Cardinals. Also an impressive victory last night for the Green Bay Packers against your defending NFC champion Seattle Seahawks. They won 27-17 on Sunday Night Football, despite injuries to Eddie Lacy, Devontae Adams for a little bit. Aaron Rodgers looked as good as ever.
Yep.
Just whatever pieces he had, he made it work.
Yeah, and he does a great job of when his first two or three reads are not there, he is so good at leaving the pocket and buying time and keeping his eyes downfield, extending plays, and it's tough. I mean, even some of the best cornerbacks or defensive backs in the NFL, which Seattle has, Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman, I mean, even those guys can only cover a receiver for so long in the open field, and if you can buy two or three seconds like Aaron Rodgers does so well, like we saw Teddy do a few times against Detroit, if a quarterback can do that, it really helps the offense out. And they were leaning on Aaron Rodgers even more than ever. As you said, Eddie Lacy went down. James Stark did a pretty good job stepping in. James Stark's for Eddie Lacy to do some of the things that Eddie Lacy does on a regular basis, carry the ball, catch the ball out of the backfield, be a reliable blocker. James Stark's can do that. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is super, super impressive every single time you watch it. And that's a good Seattle Seahawks team. I mean, they've won the NFC two times in a row. People are looking for him to kind of drop off and have that hangover, but they just don't do it. Pete Carroll has that team well coached, and they have guys that leave, but they just plug new guys in. They're playing without Cam Chancellor, and that defense still hung in there and kept the team in the game. Russell Wilson is a playmaker, can make plays with his arms and with his feet. So another dangerous team. We will see the Seattle Seahawks as well as the Green Bay Packers two more times. So fun to watch those teams go at it, but you also know you have those teams coming up on your schedule, and those are going to be tough, tough teams to play.
Also, Green Bay's defense, at least for the first half, was very solid. Seattle really couldn't do much at all.
Well, Marshawn Lynch, beast mode, is hard to bring down and hard to contain, and they did that pretty much. I mean, anyone who watched the game, anyone who has Marshawn Lynch on their fantasy team feels that. Yeah, you're right. Green Bay's defense did do a nice job of holding Seattle's offense in check. And, you know, when your offense performs and is as explosive and productive as Green Bay's is, I think it does make life a little easier for your defense. But I don't think that should take away from Green Bay's defense, because they have some good players. They have pretty good depth along their defensive line. They have a great playmaker in Clay Matthews, and they've really added talent to their secondary via the draft in the last couple of off seasons. So, Green Bay looks to be a complete team. Mason Crosby banging long field goals. The NFC North division title goes through Green Bay. They've been the dominant team in our division here for the last half decade or so, and if you want to win the NFC North, you got to go through Green Bay. That remains to be the case.
Of course, as we've mentioned, we took on the Lions this Sunday. We've talked a little bit about the game already. It won't be the last we talk of it, probably. But what did you take away from Detroit?
You know, Calvin Johnson had he had some catches and some yardage, but not in the same way that we're used to seeing him. I don't know if it was the Vikings scheme. They did a good job of preventing it, or if Detroit is trying to do other things, but it wasn't a bunch of Calvin Johnson passes deep down the field. So I thought that was interesting. I like some of the pieces they have on their offense, though. Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate, that's a good 1-2 combo at receiver. I think Amir Abdullah is a pretty good runner. He looks to be pretty shifty and pretty quick. You know, the Vikings defensive line had its way with the interior of the Lions offensive line. We've been so used to seeing Dominic Raiola as the Lions center, and he was a stalwart there for a long time. Now they have a youngster named Travis Swanson. I think he can be a good player, but, you know, he's still trying to gain his sea legs, as they say, in the league and establish himself. I think he's going to be a good player, but Linval Joseph had the advantage on Sunday. I think if the Lions can solidify some of the things on their offensive line, that's an offense that can score a lot of points. On the flip side, I really like the Lions' defensive line. I know they lost Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley, but I think Ziggy Ansah is a really good player. Jason Jones is a physical beast against the run. A blue chip, lunch pail, wear your hard hat type of player. Love Jason Jones. And then Haloti Ngata, I think he's still got game, Nate. I know the Baltimore Ravens traded him away, and you always wonder how former Ravens defensive players are going to do when they go to new teams, because we've seen a lot of them not play as well when they go to a new team. A name that comes to mind is Adalius Thomas, a linebacker that the Ravens had who was a superstar as a member of the Ravens, then went to the Patriots and didn't look to be as good. But Haloti Ngata does not fall into that category. Haloti Ngata was disruptive at times for the Vikings on Sunday. So I like the Lions' defensive line. And you know, we had the fortune of going against the Lions' defense without linebacker DeAndre Levy. He is a tackling machine and really one of their better players. So that was nice. We may have to face him when we go to Detroit later in the season. But I know that, you know, we won 26-16 for much of the game. We pushed them around. But I don't think the Lions are a pushover team. They're 0-2. And they're going to have to come out and play angry, because, as you have noted, they play the Denver Broncos next week. I believe that's a Sunday night football game. And then after that, they have a date with the Seattle Seahawks. So a tough road to hoe for the Lions, but that's a tough team with a good quarterback, and I give them a puncher's chance in both of those games.
We will now move on to a recap of your over-unders from last week, Wobby.
All right.
The week prior, you were 1-2. We talked about taking baby steps, right, making that progression.
I was 0 for before that. Week one of the season, I improved. I got one.
This week, not so much improvement.
I stayed
at 1-2, so you didn't fall back. It's not one of those one step forward, two steps back. No. Just one step forward.
Jim Harbaugh's
and then
thing,
a pause.
Jim Harbaugh's thing is you're either getting better or getting worse. You never stay the same. Well, I'm defying Jim Harbaugh. I've stayed the same. Okay?
That's true.
All right.
Let's take a look at the first one. We had the over-under for passing yards for Teddy Bridgewater at 225. We thought maybe the defense would be creeping up quite a bit, trying to
stop
protect against 28.
Yep.
So we put the over-under on passes for Teddy Bridgewater at 225.
Passing yards.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's a lot of passes.
Passes would be a ton.
That's a lot of passes.
As Kenny Mayne used to say on SportsCenter, that'd be a record or something.
That would.
Yeah.
I would assume that'd be a record. Passing yards, Teddy Bridgewater, 225. You took the over. Mm-hmm. You took the over, and you were wrong.
Wrong.
By almost 75 yards.
Not good.
He had 153 passing yards. Yeah. But as you talked about, that number doesn't look like a high number, but he was effective when he did throw the ball.
Right. He threw the ball 18 times. He was 14 of 18 for 153 yards. When you do the math, all told, yards per attempt, which is the key number, not yards per completion. You want to look at yards per attempt to see how well you're stretching the field. It was 8.5. And, I mean, if you extrapolate that throughout an entire season, you're going to be among the league leaders in yards per attempt, 8.5 yards per attempt. If you look at Norv Turner's history, the offenses that he's run in Dallas and San Diego primarily, but also some in Washington and Oakland and Cleveland, yards per attempt is a high number in a Norv Turner offense, and it was for Teddy Bridgewater on Sunday. It was 8.5. That's a very good number. And again, when you're running the ball as well as the Vikings were, 4.7 yards per carry for the team, when you're running the ball that well, you only throw the ball 18 times, and that's a good thing. An efficient passing game for Teddy Bridgewater and company, but it didn't help me because I got the over-under wrong.
That you did. We'll take a look at number two. Speaking of that rushing attack, we put the over-under on rushing attempts for Adrian Peterson at 17.5. Remember, only had 10 last week. We thought he would see more. We didn't know how much more. Turns out it was a lot more, and you took the under. You were wrong again on that.
So clearly I wasn't in Norv Turner's offensive meeting room in the week leading up to the Detroit Lions game. I got a number of passing yards.
It's all right. It was a short week. You had things to do.
So anyway, I'm happy to see Adrian get more carries than 10, and I'm happy to see him get more than 17.5, even though it means I'm 0 for 2 so far and over under. Fun to watch him carry the ball that much. I don't think we are looking at 100% Adrian Peterson quite yet. I think he's still getting back to his form. And I don't say that in a negative way. I think that's probably a good sign because he just dominated a division opponent and he's not even 100%. And when I say not 100%, I'm not necessarily alluding to injury. I'm just saying missing 15 games last season, not playing in the preseason, it just might take you a little bit of time to get back to your form. I think we're seeing that with Adrian Peterson. Nothing wrong with that. And he still looked explosive to me. I think the Detroit Lions would say he's explosive, and he paced our offense on Sunday with a very physical style, running behind a very physical offensive line, and he absolutely crushed my prediction of being under 17.5 carries as he carried the ball 29 times.
And for the third over-under, we took a look at total points in the contest. We said the average point total for a game last year was 45.2. We like our offense. We think they have a pretty high-powered offense as well. So we put the over-under at 44.5 points in this contest. You took the under, and you were right, but it was actually pretty close. The final score of 26-16, that's 42 points. That's not far from 45.
And if not for some miscues on point after tries, I would have been wrong, right? Because Blair Walsh missed an extra point, and Harrison Smith stopped a two-point conversion.
There you go.
So there's the difference for me. And I'm glad to get this one right. You'll take the cookies when they're passed. You know, both Vikings-Lions games were low-scoring last year. Familiar opponents that know each other well, want to establish a physical presence up front on both sides. I just looked at it as a smash-mouth, physical, low-scoring game. And I don't know that you would say 26-16 is a low-scoring game, but it was certainly physical and smash-mouth. Chalk one up for me. I got one right, 1-2. Okay, with that, we will wrap up this episode of the Wobcast. The Vikings defeat the Detroit Lions 26-16. They get in the left-hand column of the win-loss total. They get a victory. They are 1-1 on the season. Next week, they host the San Diego Chargers. The game will be Sunday at noon. The last time the San Diego Chargers came to Minnesota, Nate, Adrian Peterson, 296 rushing yards, which remains the NFL single-game record.
That's got to be a record or something.
That is a record or something. It would be fun to watch some more records get broken, whether it's that record or some other record. The Vikings will get back out onto the field, try and get to 2-1, and to do so, they're going to have to beat the San Diego Chargers, quarterbacked by Phillip Rivers, who is still slinging the ball all over the yard for the San Diego Chargers, had over 400 yards passing in week one. Didn't have a bad day last week in Cincinnati. The Bengals came out on top. Still wasn't a bad afternoon for Mr. Phillip Rivers. And our offensive coordinator, Norv Turner, knows this guy quite well, so it will be a fun reunion for those two. Be sure to stay tuned to Vikings.com and the Vikings Entertainment Network all week because we will have tons of preview content as we break down the Vikings and San Diego Chargers matchup again. That game will be Sunday at noon. We'll be back later in the week with another edition of the Wobcast. Until then, stay cool, and we'll see you next time.